Hope you have your Bibles. If you do, turn in them to Joshua chapter 12. And tonight we're going to go through three chapters. There's a lot of verses in here telling the lands that were conquered, and so we'll not spend time on those verses. But Joshua has had a lot for us as we've gone through it. We've seen the walls of Jericho fall. We've seen the sun stand still for a day. We've seen God do great and mighty things through Joshua and through the people, and they have conquered, and God has given the victory like he told them that he would, and now they are beginning to divide up the land. And so tonight, as we go into chapters 12, 13, and 14, we'll look at the division of the land, and then especially in chapter 14, we see some things about Caleb there. And so first we'll go in chapter 12, and let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll look at conquering the land in chapter 12, verse 1. Father, we thank you for the blessings of the scripture to us and for the history of the nation of Israel. And even as we read in Corinthians, it tells us that that is an example or in samples to us so that we can make applications to our own lives. And so help us to learn from these historical events of your people, Israel, and be able to apply these truths to our lives as well so that we can have victory in our own lives over sin and temptation and the struggles that we have. And we thank you that you are the same God today as you are were the God that led Joshua. And we pray in Christ's name, amen. Look at verse 1 of chapter 12. It says, "Now these are the kings of the land which the children of Israel smote and possessed there." And here they go in and they're conquering the land and they have to smite. They have to put to death. And we have that principle in the New Testament where it tells us to crucify the flesh. If we're going to possess the blessings that God has for us, then we have to do the smiting of those sins that will hinder us. And not just sins, but Hebrews tells us that also there are some weights that so easily beset us. And so oftentimes we have to smite those things so that we can have the victory that God wants us to have. Romans 8:13 teaches us this. It says, "For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." And just as they put to death, they did smite the enemy, we have to do the same thing. We have to mortify the deeds of the flesh daily so that we can have victory. Colossians 3:5 puts it this way. "Mortify, therefore, your members which are among the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry." And so we see that they go in and they conquer the land and they smite and possess. The rest of verse 1 says, right after it says, "They smote and possessed their land on the other side of Jordan toward the rising of the sun from the river Arnon to Mount Hermon and all the plain on the east there." And so the land that was conquered by Moses, follow along as I read through verse 6. I'm not going to read all the verses as I mentioned through chapter 14, but look at the land that Moses helped to conquer. Sihon, king of the Amorites who dwell in Heshbon and rule from Aroer, which is upon the bank of the river Arnon, and from the middle of the river, and from half Gilead, even unto the river Jabbok, which is the border of the children of Ammon, and from the plain to the sea of Shinaroth on the east, and unto the sea of the plain, even the salt sea on the east, the way to Beth Jeshimoth, and from the south under Ashdod Pisgah, and the coast of Og, king of Bashan, which was of the remnant of the giants that dwelt at Ashtaroth and at Edrei, and reigned in Mount Hermon and in Salcah and in all Bashan unto the border of the Geshurites and the Machanites, and half Gilead, the border of Sihon, king of Heshbon. Verse 6, "Then them did Moses, the servant of the Lord, and the children of Israel smite. There it is again. They smote them. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave it for a possession unto the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half tribe of Manasseh. So there are 2.5 tribes that received this land on the east here. And of course, there are 12 tribes in all, so that leaves 9.5. And later on, we'll see the 9.5. But we have, again, those words, they smote and they possessed. And that's what God wants us to do. The flesh, if we're going to be victorious, we have to do that in our lives as well. Moses viewed the promised land from Mount Nebo, and that was one of the chief peaks of the area that we just read a moment ago. Now let's go into verse 7 and 8, and we'll move not only from conquering the land, but the circumstances in life. Verse 7, and these are the kings of the country which Joshua, the children of Israel, smote on this side Jordan, on the west, from Baal-Gad in the valley of Lebanon, even unto Mount Halak, that goeth up to Seir, which Joshua gave to the tribes of Israel for possession according to their division. So we have the 2.5 on the east, 9.5 on the west. Verse 8, it says, in the mountains, in the valleys, in the plains, in the springs, in the wilderness, and all of these areas there. And there are different challenges. If you go up on a high mountain, you might have issues with, you know, enough oxygen. If you go into the plains, you might be exposed to the wind and storms and flooding. And all of these different areas have different issues that come with it, different challenges. And in our lives, we have the same thing. There are some days we're on the mountains, some days we're in the valley, some days we're in the plain, some days we're through the wind and the storms and the rain and the wilderness, even as it talks here. And we have all of these challenges. And as we have these challenges in our lives, if we're going to be victorious and gain the blessings that God wants us to have, we have to learn to smite those enemies. We need to conquer. We don't need to let those challenges that we have hold us back and defeat us. Satan will use people, he'll use circumstances, he'll use anything he can to keep us from enjoying the blessings that God has for us. And so just as Joshua and the children of Israel, they moved on, so we must move on as well. Then in the next verses, 9 and following, it lists all of those kings, and you can look at them, and I'll just read the last verse of chapter 12. The last king was the king of Tirzah, and after listing all those other ones, it said, all the kings, 31. Wow, that's a lot of battles. 31 battles, 31 kings. And it seems like they'd get one victory, and here comes something else. Get rid of one problem. And you know the old saying, if it's not one thing, it's two. Some people say if not one, it's another. Some people say if not one, it's two. It just seems like the circumstances come. The wilderness, the springs, the plains, the valleys, that things just keep coming and coming. And how can I have victory? And God wants to give us victory over all those things. And he has promised that when we go through all these circumstances, we never go them alone. He's always with us, and we have that comfort. As God was with Moses, so was he with Joshua. And as God was with Joshua, so is he with us. And so they have divided the land. Now we move into chapter 13, and they had some limitations. Joshua did. Verse 1 says, now Joshua was old and stricken in years. And the Lord reminded him of it. I find a little humor in this verse. And the Lord said to him, Joshua, thou art old and stricken in years. And it was like, thank you, Lord. I appreciate that reminder there that I'm old and stricken in years. But, you know, God knows our problems, and he knows the limitations that we have. And he knew Moses' problems, and he knows Joshua's problems, and he knows those limitations. But even after we saw in verse 24, they had won 31 battles. And now God says, you're old and you're stricken in years. He says in verse 1, and there remains yet very much land to be possessed. Yes, you're old and you're stricken in years, and there have been great victories in the past. But we're not going to live in the past, Joshua. We thank God for those victories. But God has more possessions. God has greater blessings for us in the future. And we can't live on those, even though we're older, we're stricken in years. You know, there are some limitations we have, and we all have different kinds of limitations. And God knows those things there. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. There is much land to be possessed. There are many souls to be saved before the Lord comes again. Psalm 103:14 says, "For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust." He knows that we're getting older, that we are not able to do the things that we used to do there. And he understands those things. And he says to Joshua, "You still have some work to do." And so no matter what our limitations are, it's never time to quit and say it's time to let someone else do it. Because if God still has you here on earth, he has something for you to do. You may not be able to do as much as you used to do, but God has something for you. He has something for me as we go on and we smite the enemies and we possess the blessings that God has for us. Over in chapter 14, which we'll get to in just a little bit, but just a glimpse at one verse, verse 11, Caleb says, "As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so my strength is now." That's kind of unusual. He was 40 then, and he's 85 now. And you see those verses where he says 40 years ago and 45 years later, there, 85 years old, he says he's just as strong at 85 as he was at 40. And I hope I'm as strong at 85 as I was at 40, because that means I'm going to get stronger than I am now, because I'm now not as strong as I was at 40 there. And so God has something for us to do. We'll go back to chapter 13 as we're considering our limitations. God knows the limitations, but drop down to verse 6 of chapter 13. "And all the inhabitants of the hill country from Lebanon to Misrath-Photh-Maim, and all the Sidonians, them will I drive out from before the children of Israel. Only divide thou it by lot unto the Israelites for an inheritance, as I have commanded thee. Now therefore," verse 7, "divide this land for an inheritance unto the nine tribes and the half tribe of Manasseh." And so now we see the other nine and a half tribes. And so not only are we considering our limitations, but now we see he says, divide it by lot. Drive them out. And so it's time for them to go in and colonize all the land that God has given to them. He has brought them from Egypt across the Red Sea. They had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Now they've crossed the Jordan River, and God has something for them to do where they are to search out and map out. Can you imagine drawing maps? I mean, we take great benefit from the maps that we have, especially now, not like the ones you used to try to figure out how to fold back to get in your glove compartment there. Can you imagine people going around all over drawing the maps as they would walk and maybe go by mule or horseback or by boat or something, and they mapped out? They didn't have Google Earth, you know, to help them with those things. And so God is telling them to go and search out and map out and organize and colonize the land that he's given to them. And he says to divide it by lot in verse 6. And when God tells them to divide it by lot, he gives to every man that which God wants them to have. And God does the same with us. He's not giving this out to lot everybody equal. People are going to have different lots. And so God does that today. And some of our lots, we might have more limitations than other people have in their lots. But God has given to us what he wants us to have. He doesn't hold us accountable for the abilities we don't have. But he does hold us accountable to use the things that he has given to us. And he tells them to divide this out by lot before they conquered. And so here they are dividing it by lot, and they haven't even conquered yet. And that is faith there. And the boundaries are given here as they go out and they colonize and they have boundaries. God has told us to do the same thing, that spiritually we are to colonize for the kingdom into the whole world. As we look at Missions Emphasis Month, we go into all the world and preach the gospel there. Speaking of casting lots, let me read three passages for you. Proverbs 16:33. It says, "The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord." So the casting of lots was like, you know, drawing straws or rolling dice or something like that that we would relate to. And they would do that. And it would provide answers to them. In Jonah chapter 1, they did that. It says, "And they said, everyone to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast their lots, and the lot fell on Jonah." And so they knew it was Jonah's fault for the storm that was there because they cast lots there. Then over in the New Testament, remember whenever they were looking for a disciple in Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse 23, it says, "They appointed unto Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias." And they had to decide which of these two were going to replace Judas. And they prayed and said, "Thou, Lord, which knoweth the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place." And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11. And so the lot fell on Matthias. And so they took that as an answer from God. In verse 24, I hope you caught those words that I read. It says, "And they prayed and said." And so they didn't just cast lots and say, "Well, whatever's going to be is going to be." They prayed and they believed by faith that the one that was chosen was God's will. And God has given us prayer as well. And we can pray and we can make decisions. Oh, we might not draw straws. We look to God's word. And if you want to draw straws, and if you pray first and seek God's face and pray and say, "God, I'm going to draw straws and I need to know what to do." If you have faith and believe that God is going to answer that, then you just be committed to do whichever one you draw. You just follow through with that. God will guide us. He guided them here, and he will guide us as we colonize the kingdom for him. Well, we also see that there was one tribe, Levi, that was a consecrated tribe. In verse 14 of chapter 13, he says, "Only unto the tribe of Levi he gave none inheritance. The sacrifices of the Lord God of Israel made by fire are their inheritance, as he said unto them." And so we had the one tribe, the tribe of Levi, that they didn't have inheritance of the land. They were, as we call them, the Levitical priesthood. And we see the applications in the New Testament. Whenever we learn that as Christians, we are priests unto God. And so we don't need a human priest that has to intervene between God and us. Because we are priests, we are able to go into the very presence of God ourselves. The sacrifices of the Lord, verse 14, are their inheritance. Now we come to chapter 14. The rest of the verses in chapter 13, from 15 all the way through 31, telling about the dividing of the land in verse 33. Let me read the last verse of chapter 13. It says, "But unto the tribe of Levi, Moses gave not any inheritance. The Lord God of Israel was their inheritance, as he said unto them." And so it's repeated again. The Levites were the priests, and they didn't have an inheritance. Now we come to chapter 14. And chapter 14 tells us about the land that's west of Jordan, and specifically as it relates to Caleb. And so let's see four things about Caleb in chapter 14. His commitment, his confidence, his courage, and then his conquest. Caleb, it tells us several times that he wholly followed the Lord, and we'll see that in just a minute. And let's move on and look at Caleb's commitment in verse 7 of chapter 14. He says, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. And remember, and he went to spy out the land, and he came back and he had a good report. You know, he said, we can do this. He had faith and he had confidence there. There are others who had a negative report. He says, it was in mine heart to do it, that is, to go on, not to turn back. The Bible says in Luke 9:62, Jesus said to them, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. And Lot's wife, she looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. Israel looked back. They were looking back into Egypt, and sometimes were just desiring to go back in there. They were looking back because they were going through some valleys and some plains and some wilderness and all the difficulties of life, and they were thinking, maybe it would be easier if we just go back. But not Caleb. He has this commitment that I'm going to go on. No matter what may come my way, I'm going to go on. But not just go on, but also to give all. Verse 8. He says, nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me, they made the heart of the people melt. See, in verse 7, he said, it was in my heart to go on. But the others, they were discouraging. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And so he was going to give all. And that's what the Lord wants from us, isn't it? To give all. You've heard, I'm sure, the illustration of having this wonderful breakfast of ham and eggs, and both the chicken and the hog contributed to the breakfast. But the hog, you know, he had to give his life. He gave all there. The chicken didn't, had more to give. And the Lord wants us to be as Caleb, who wholly followed the Lord and gave everything there. Isn't that what God did for us? He didn't hold back. He gave us his all. He gave us his only begotten son there. And Caleb's confidence is next as we see his commitment. And Caleb is confident in his God. Look at verse 9. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. So when Caleb said it earlier, he wasn't bragging there. Moses had told him, and he knew he had wholly followed the Lord. Verse 10, and now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years since the Lord spake the word to Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, and lo, I am this day 85 years old. And so 45 years later, 85 from 40. And then he says in verse 11, and I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. And people will say, well, that's not possible for somebody to be as strong at 85 as they were at 40. Well, yeah, it's not possible for walls to fall down when people yell either, is it? It's not possible for the waters of the Red Sea to part. And when God is involved, anything is possible there. And so here he's given this strength to Caleb. It wasn't because he had a wonderful exercise program while he was wandering through the wilderness and he had different food than the rest of the people did. It was because God did that. He wholly followed the Lord. He smote those things that God told him to smite, and he gained the possessions that God had for him. And as he has his confidence, is a confidence which throws away fear. Look at verses 11 and 12. I read 11 already. Look now at 12. Now therefore, he says, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. And so he's 85 years old, and he wants this mountain. It says in verse 12, the Anakims were there. Who were the Anakims? You remember, don't you? They were the giants. Here's this 85-year-old man who thinks he's strong enough to defeat a giant. And he is, because it's his God that's going to defeat the giants through him. And so he discards fear. And as we go through the mountains and the valleys and the plains and the wilderness and all the circumstances of life, we can discard fear. We don't have to be afraid because we have a giant killer God. And then Caleb goes on to demonstrate his faith. In verse 12, it says, "If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out." Notice that. And I have marked that word. I've underlined it heavily in my Bible there because it connects that which is before it. He says, if the Lord is with me, then I'll be able to drive them out. And he knows the Lord is going to be with him because God had promised him that. God says, Caleb, as I was with Joshua, so I'll be with you. He told Joshua, as I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. And he has told us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so we can discard fear and we can demonstrate faith because our faith is in a trustworthy God. Confidence in God is faith. Confidence in self might be a positive outlook or optimism, but confidence in God is faith. Acting on what God says, it might seem illogical, it might seem impossible, but here's Caleb at 85 years old and he has confidence in his God. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. Romans 14:23 says, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And so he's going to go forth in faith, trusting God to give the land. Verse 13, and Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims. He was a great man among the giants, but he wasn't greater than God. And so we see Caleb's confidence. Let's look at his courage. He's going to overcome some grasshoppers. Sometimes we have to overcome those little things in our lives. The Bible says the little foxes spoil the vineyards. And sometimes there can be a whole lot of little things, like a water dripping, you know, at night when you're trying to sleep. It's just a little, just a drop of water, but that little drip, drip, drip sometimes can drive you insane, can it? Well, these grasshoppers, these little things, Numbers 13:33, it says, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and as we were in their own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. He said, we're just like grasshoppers. And so some of the things that we have to overcome, you know, the naysayers and the nitpickers and the little small things that come, we have to overcome those things, and we need courage for that. We also need courage to overcome the Anakims, the giants, even as David did. In Numbers chapter 14, in 8 and 9, it says, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. And so there can be giants of discouragement, giants of finances, giants of health. There can be all kinds of giants that would come into our land that would want to hinder us. And we have two options when we see these giants. Option number one, we can compare our size to the giants. And this is fear. Oh, we're just like grasshoppers in their sight. This problem is so big, there's no way I can conquer this problem because this is a great problem and I don't know what to do. That's fear. The other option we have, because God tells us that God has not given us the spirit of fear, rather than comparing the size of the giants to us, why don't we compare the giant size to God? And then when we compare the size of the giants to God, it kind of makes them small, doesn't it? Because the giants, the problem that we have compared to our God is so small. Philippians 4:13, you well know, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And so when we look at the problems that seem so insurmountable, when we compare them to our great and mighty God, they seem so small there. Well, we not only have to overcome grasshoppers and overcome giants, there's something else we have to overcome. Going to verse 10. It says, and now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake his word to Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness now, and lo, I am this day 85 years old. He has to have courage to overcome the grave as well. Aging is no reason to quit. God still has a purpose, even for the elderly. It may be harder, as I said, but God has a plan. We need the courage to move forward. And lastly, Caleb's conquest. Go once again to verse 12. I've read it already. I'll read it again. Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. He says, the Lord has spoken already, and I'm going to claim God's promise. And when God makes a promise, we can be 100% certain that he's going to do it. God always keeps his word. And that's what Caleb says as he wholly follows the Lord. He says, give me this mountain. Al Smith, who the older hymn book we had, Living Hymns, he wrote the song, I want that mountain where the milk and honey flow, where the grapes of Eskel grow. I want that mountain here. And that song was kind of adopted when I was at Liberty, because when I first went there, they were meeting at the old location before they built Liberty Mountain. And so Dr. Falwell kind of adopted that song that Al Smith wrote to build Liberty Mountain there. And so this is Caleb saying, I'm going to take that mountain. It's a mountain of giants, but my God is greater than the giants. Not only is he claiming God's promise, he's also claiming his own possession there. It's a possession that God had promised to him, Hebron, there. In verse 14, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel there. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 24, it says, but my servant Caleb, he was a servant of God who wholly followed the Lord. And this servant, he had some obstacles. There were some grasshoppers in his lives. There were some giants in his lives. There were some aging in his life, but he trusted God, and his God is great, and so is ours. So as we make an application that I've already referred to once, we go back to chapter 12, verse 1, smite and possess. That's what they did. They did smite the people. They possessed the land. The victory and the blessings come as we crucify the flesh. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me, Galatians 2:20. There, the victory and blessings come as we crucify the flesh. And Caleb wholly followed the Lord. More verses than, but those are three verses that tell us that he wholly followed the Lord. And as we wholly follow the Lord and smite the enemies that come to us, circumstances or people, not literally, of course, as we do those things, God gives us the victory and the blessings. Whether we're fighting the grasshoppers or the giants or old age, our God is great, and he will give the victory as we smite and possess. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the great God that you are to us, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Moses, Joshua, Caleb, the God of Sumter Bible Church, all of us here tonight, what a mighty God we serve. We thank you that there is nothing that comes our way that you cannot conquer if we but will wholly follow the Lord. In Christ's name, amen.